Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Coming to you from Capes HQ, this is your Indie Comics Podcast. This is Flipside Focus, and I am your host, Dodgy in the Mix, and with me is Captain Fuzzy Beard himself, the random dude, Josh.
What's going on, Dodgy? How you doing?
Yeah, doing pretty good, pretty good. Unfortunately, we'll hear crickets in the background. Unfortunately, Al wasn't able to make it. But don't you worry, we've got your Indie Comics fix right here on Flipside Focus. So, Josh, I hear that you have a bit of news you wanted to shout out.
I do. This is actually really, really exciting. If you guys have noticed on Twitter, I've been promoting the hell out of Morgan's Organs, Book 3, on Twitter for their Kickstarter campaign. Well, within 6 days of the campaign launching, it was fully funded. 6 days, fully funded. So now we're at the fun part where the more money that's raised for the book, then we get into the stretch goals. I'm super excited. This is one project I backed. So I'm super excited to get my books. In fact, if you're living in the U.S. To get the print books of 1, 2, or 3, so you have your choice, along with the PDF books and all of that, that only ended up being, with shipping, maybe $20. It was a great deal. So definitely one worth getting. If you want, you know, the extra stuff that Daniel Brody talked about, the enamel pins, or the 3D figures of Pepe, the penis, or Angus, the anus, those ones are going to be a little, obviously, higher up in the higher tiers. But this is an amazing book, an amazing story, and I can't stop talking about it. So just go back the damn project.
Exactly. Just back up that Pepe.
Exactly. But because of the response that this book has had, Daniel Brody is already going to be working on book 4. So we're going to be getting more of Morgan's Organs down the road. So I can't stress it enough. Go to Kickstarter, back the project. Yeah.
Yeah, back up that Pepe. He needs all the love he can get.
Back that Pepe up.
Yeah, vote Pepe. Don't vote Pedro, vote Pepe.
Vote for Pepe. Oh, that gives me an idea. Okay, stay tuned to Twitter for more.
Indeed, indeed. Do keep an eye out, because you don't know what the random dude's random thoughts are. So, who knows? speaking of projects, there is one that's coming out in time for San Diego Comic-Con. Our friends over at XCT, Extreme Championship Tournaments, are releasing a San Diego exclusive version of the Spartacus in a Future World Realm comic book. So, keep an eye out for that, because XCT will be in San Diego in time for Comic-Con. So please, Sean, please come and say hello. He will be delighted to see you. He's very talkative. He's very friendly, very approachable. He's a very nice guy. So please go and say hello to Sean over at XCT stand at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm sure he'd be delighted to speak to all of his American fans or fans from anywhere around the world. So please go check it out. Just look up in Kickstarter, XCT. I'm sure you'll find your San Diego exclusive. Either check it out on Facebook. Look up XCT, Extreme Championship Tournament, that's with an X. And you will see those books and, check them out. So as you may have already known that the first week of April, the 4th of the 4th, you know, may the 4th be with you, it was Free Comic Book Day. So I was very lucky to actually pick up some really nice books. I picked up some really nice indie books. Josh, did you manage to check out Free Comic Book Day up at your neck of the woods?
I unfortunately was unable to. That was the day, and I realize it's the indie comic show. However, that was the day that I got to see Batman 89 in theaters.
What?
Yep. I got to finally see that movie in theaters, and we had also gone and I was able to go see Endgame that day. So I wanted to see that before the ban was lifted on spoilers, because I had done well on social media to avoid any spoilers. And So I just had to get that scene before that happened. So unfortunately I missed it, but I had a very good reason as to why.
Yeah, it is a very good reason. I mean, I'm surely enough getting to watch the 89 Batman in the cinema would have been fantastic. Did see it, but I was only like 12, I think, or 11. I was like really young. So
yeah, and I was only 6 when it came out. So
yeah,
the first Batman movie I had seen in the cinema it would have been Batman Returns. So,
ooh, nice.
But yeah, to see that one, you know, I was able to check that off on my bucket list. So I was very happy.
Fantastic. So for my Free Comic Book Day experience, it was held in Sydney, Australia. I first went to King's Comics. I was able to pick up Grumble versus Goon and also the new Bloodshot title, which is sort of another... wouldn't necessarily say it's another reboot, but it's just another another story, and which I really like. And and I was able to also pick up my pull list as well that day, and I was very lucky enough to grab a copy of the Excalibur special signed by Chris Claremont himself, which was 20% off. So I took advantage of that. And then I went over to another bookstore called Kunukuniya. I know there's a few in the States. I know that I went to visit the one in New York. It's a Japanese bookstore, and I was able to pick up, my Ninja Turtle book as well as Zagor, the Alien Saga, which I'm going to talk about shortly, in terms of my In Focus books, because some of these indie titles, which I'll get to in a moment, are quite interesting in a lot of ways. But before I jump into my indie books, Josh, we'll jump into your In Focus title. What did you pick up?
So the first book I wanted to talk about is, it's called The Cave. And let me get this brought up here. So it's a wood rat tale, and it's written by, oh my gosh, the one time that I'm like, oh, let's talk about who wrote it. And then, do I have it ready? Of course not. So it's written by Mark Mavrothelidis. If I butchered your name, I am so sorry. Art was done by Mark Simic. Letters done by Frank It's all done by a lot of awesome people. I feel really bad for butchering names anyway. But the premise of the story It's the story about a warrior trying to protect his clan, and you know, starting off, like, as I was reading through, I was a little confused by it, I'm not gonna lie. But I was also kind of taken away at the fact that this is done all in black and white, which I've come to appreciate a lot more. In fact, I probably could have read this book without any dialogue, and I still would have enjoyed it. I don't know if you feel the same way there, Dodgy, about it. But, you know, just as this clan is crossing this mountain and, you know, trying to escape the elements, all while it almost seems like they're being hunted by this wood rat, is what it seems like they're referring it to. So
I felt the same way. I felt that the art is absolutely gorgeous, and you're right, it didn't really require a lot of dialogue, but you can kind of tell that this protagonist, who it looks like he's gone through hell and back, and he's trying to find answers by entering this cave, and the consequences of the cave is leaving a like a progressive tale to see what happens in issue number two, because as you can see, the guy who's leading him in goes through a transformation process, starts eating one of his own arms, and you're just thinking to yourself, like, what the hell's going on? So from my observation, I felt like it was a bit more of a prehistoric tale, like maybe along the lines of pre-Conan. You know, there's not a lot in terms of civilization, so everything is self-made. You know, hunting animals for fur to make clothing. And it feels like there's a lot here that's going on that we probably would need to read issue number two to find consequences. But I thought, like, the black and white, it works so well. I feel like adding color to it would probably do this book a disservice. So it's leaving an opening here as to what's going on in this cave. As the, you know, it's the name of the title. So I'm really intrigued to see what happens next.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, the lettering, so well done on this. The artwork, as you said, absolutely gorgeous. And I definitely would not want to see this in color at all. Leave the color to the covers and the variant covers, but for the story itself, leave it black and white. I think it's perfect as is. It's like Sin City meets prehistoric times.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that.
So, yeah, all in all, it was a great book. I enjoyed it. So, but yeah.
Definitely.
You know, moving from prehistoric, we'll save the Free Comic Book Day books for last, unless you want to jump into one now.
Well, I'll jump into one now because this one is quite exciting, because, you know, it's a household name in terms of the comic book world. So people who are into comic book shops and things like that, or if, you know, unless they've been living under a rock, I've never heard of Bloodshot. So Bloodshot by Valiant Comics was a book I picked up because the movie is coming out next year with Vin Diesel in the title role. So, you know, this time next year when the movie comes out, it will no longer be a unknown comic book character. He will be probably starting something in the movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited about this. So The it's written by Tim Seeley with art by Thomas Giorello. Apologies for again, butchering names. He's the same artist who did the early EXO books in 2017. Fantastic artist. He also did work on Dark Horse, Star Wars, Conan, and other a lot of other of the big two as well. So what I liked about this book is a great intro to the character. So they're not overpopulating things. So when you are jumping into a free Comic Book Day comic, you're getting the you're not being puzzled by what on earth is going on. They try to keep it as simple as they possibly can by just giving us good good stories. Without overcomplicating the characters, and lots of action, and with Giorello's art, it's absolutely gorgeous. So I was really happy to pick this up. Like, I do read a lot of Bloodshot, and it is in my pull list. But gone from Salvation to Bloodshot Rising, so I am fully aware of what the story is and what the comic book is about. But getting this is actually a nice intro. So they are sort of retelling another story of Bloodshot, which is great. So it's good for first-time readers. I'm so happy to have picked up this book. You know, and also it's got a bit on also The Fallen World, which is another Valiant story that is coming out, which is already out, I should say. And it's written by Dan Abnett, who is probably one of my all-time favorite writers. He did the, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy, which led to the movie. So, you know, he's a big, big name, and the art is by Juan Jose Ripe. So, if you do pick up the Fallen World story, probably better to pick up the Free Comic Book Day version prior, just to see if you made the right choice or not, because it will just give you a little introduction to the story. And if you do visit your local comic book shop now, they may still have some Free Comic Book Day books left over. So there'll be no harm in asking, hey, have you got the Bloodshot, you know, Free Comic Book Day? They, mm-hmm. You never know. Your comic book store may still have it in there, you know, in the back somewhere, or, you know, they might have one laying around. Who knows? But you won't know unless you ask. And look, there's no shame in asking, because if the answer is yes, then great. Take it. Yeah. Take it and read it. But yeah, definitely it's worth a checkout.
Okay. So would you say that this book, you know, if someone has never read Bloodshot at all and has no knowledge of him, would you say that this is a book worth picking up, that the reader's not going to look at it and go, what the hell? You know, and try and understand what's going on. Or does it create enough foundation for the reader to understand who Bloodshot is?
Well, yes. I feel like, because when you do open the book, it's got a little bit of who he is, like a little bit of a biography. It's not as, you know, obvious as to say, so this is, you know, once upon a time there was a character. They're not creating that sort of foundation. It's more or less just very very abbreviated history about the character without having to retell the entire story, but just enough that you can go, okay, I kind of get what's going on here. You know, I think if you know, with any comic book character, you pick up the book for the first time, you're gonna know a little bit about the character, but you might just have to read more to understand the full potential. But there's definitely nothing here that will say, like, what the hell, like, I have no idea what's going on. I think it's created in a way that it's sort of like, these are some of the pieces we're putting together, and this is what you should and this is what you should know. So I really liked it. It's you know, they you know, it's not complicated.
Okay. And especially with the movie coming out, you know, as you said, there's going to be a lot more Bloodshot in the media. So
there will be.
It's definitely, and I think, Dodgy, you would agree in this statement, that it's worth, you know, picking up and reading not only this book, but any of the other Bloodshot books prior to this, just to be able to truly understand and enjoy the character. So when you do go see the movie, you can truly enjoy it.
Yes, no doubt. And I mean, look, if you are looking to read from the beginning, probably to pick up the issue. Forgive me, I don't know the name of the title, but anything that was written after 2012. So probably picking up the first trade of Bloodshot from 2012 onwards, because that is the new foundation of the character. If you read anything from 92 and then read something from 2012, you're probably going to be a bit confused, because 92 was, you know, obviously 27 years ago. So the character was just being formed. Mm-hmm. And it could be a bit patchy in terms of what you could read now, whereas if you read anything now, they are still continuing the foundation of the character, but the stories are more fluid and the history is more current. So probably better to pick up something 2012 onwards, just so that you can adjust to the character when you watch the movie and go, okay, this is making sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may find anything pre that, you might see characters like who are no longer in the Valiant universe, like Solar, Man of the Atom, or Turok, or Magnus, Robot Fighter. So you may come across those characters that are no longer in the Valiant universe and thinking, okay, what's going on here? Who are these people? You know, just anything 2012 onwards will just make it so much easier for you to read.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good starting point, because I know I, to be honest, I had never heard of Bloodshot really until I started, you know, being a part of the podcast. So, you know, it's good, you know, even for readers like me who have read plenty of books, but where my foundation was on the big two and not so much indie starting out. You know, definitely worth, you know, checking out. Because Bloodshot's badass.
Yeah, and that's why Free Comic Book Day is great, because you get to be introduced to these characters. You don't have to fork out the money to buy a book that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You can read it for free. So, yeah, you could either continue buy it or burn it. So you can just do whatever you like. If you like the book, great, continue reading. If you don't like it, then just discard it. Just move on.
Or give it to someone who may enjoy it. You never know.
True, exactly right. Yeah, and also too, when you grab a Free Comic Book Day comic, you never know, there might be a first appearance in that book, which means that book may have a little bit of value in the future. So before you burn it, just check it out first and make sure that, you know, you're not throwing away a little investment. Because I know Jessica Cruz, Simon Baz, his first appearance was in a Free Comic Book Day comic. So just have a look before you throw it away.
Good advice. I like it.
Thank you. All right, Josh, so what else did you pick up in Focus?
So the other book that I chose was America's Kingdom. This is created by Brian Hawkins with pencils by Arias Gonzalez, colors by Scapitaki? I think I pronounced it. I don't even know. Yes, what you said. Inks by James Herbert. So the premise of the book, and we've talked about kind of these historical types of books, but this one has an interesting twist. And the premise of the book is, you know, what if America had never been a democracy, but instead a monarchy? So instead of it being the United States of America, it's the United Kingdom of America. So that in itself, that whole concept, automatically had me hooked. Something about, you know, taking American history and completely changing it around has always intrigued me. And so the story, you know, we followed essentially two groups of people. You've got the rebels, if you will, who were fighting against the monarchy, and then you've got the monarchy themselves, you know, taking a very English approach in the way that the government is structured within the United States. There's still, you know, monuments like, say, the White House. However, in this book, it's the White Palace. You know, so I just like things like that. Wow. Like, what a way to start off a book. Much like The Cave, this is in black and white. This is one I would have, honestly, I would have been okay having some color in this one.
I think so too.
So there's just, with a lot of the rooms that you see, the heavy line work to show like the patterns on the walls and whatnot, I felt like some of the characters are drowning, you know, trying to compete against all the shading that's done. But the story in itself is, oh my hell, that it starts off with action. I didn't even feel that there was a whole lot of downtime reading this book. You know, it was just, as I was going through each panel, just did not want to stop. So, and I don't know if you felt the same way, but all in all, it was well done. I thought the character design was spot on. So.
Yeah, it's got a very Game of Thrones feel to it. It's, you know, like death is imminent. People die. It's almost like there's no, like human life is really, it's,
expendable.
It was like a chess piece. Like people die people are expendable. It's like, yeah, there's no second thoughts. It's like, yep, he's got to die. It's a very unique book, I must say. You know, you write about what it would be like in terms of a monarchy setup. You know, today is very English. It's probably like very 1600s. It's got that, you know, as you mentioned, life is expendable. It's probably more expendable back in those times than it would have been, you know, 100 years ago or even till now. So, yeah, it's very unique. It does leave more to you know, it leaves an opening, like the other book, to want more by reading on. So at the end of the book, there's, you know, the prisoner is, you know, his head, you know, off with his head at the end in front of the audience, who really is sort of expecting it. It's almost like, yeah, this is the consequence that should have happened. And you've got the king, like he looks very clean cut, very suave, you know, dapper, but yet does this at the end. It's almost like, yeah. But I mean, like, we don't know the full story though as to what the guy actually did. Like, I know he's a you know, tried for treason. But we don't know the full extent as to what he's done, and we don't really know who the, because we know full well who the antagonist is, but who's the protagonist? It'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Yeah. This, you know, as I was reading this story, the first thought that came through my head was, this would be one hell of a video game.
Yeah.
you know, if you were looking for a solid game, you know, very similar to like Uncharted or The Last of Us, you know, where it is just the story, you know, there's no online multiplayer or anything like that, just a one hell of a story, I could see America's Kingdom being that type of game.
Yeah, that's true. Be interesting to use bow and arrows and swords in suburban society.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and to be able to have these cities that we know, like Washington, D.C., New York, to have those types of environments, but yet set in this sort of world, would be one hell of a game. And even have the game support, you know, whatever the story is for the game, that actually is supporting the books. You know, so the premise and the foundation are set in the books, but then the game becomes an extension of that. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I'm just thinking.
No, it sounds, yeah, it does sound like fun. It's almost like a Grand Theft Auto riding on horseback. That'll be fun.
Yeah, like, hold on, I have it. Like Red Dead Redemption meets Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes. That'd be fun.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But still, as I said, if you love those historical types of books where taking historical events and really twisting it into something new, then this is a book for you.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yep, America's Kingdom. Make sure you pick
definitely
up that one.
Definitely check it out. For sure. All right, so I'll tell you about my last book. So when I went to Free Comic Book Day, I saw this comic and I thought, what the hell? I'll just grab this because it looked very unique. Never seen anything like it. Never heard of this character before. So I was like, yeah, give me that. So this is called Zargor, the Alien Saga. So when I picked up this book, I thought, oh, this is interesting. But upon opening the pages and thinking, oh, the art style looks a bit dated. So I went and geeked out and I did a little bit of research to find out this is actually a Silver Age comic. Having the cover redone. So this is created in 1961. It's by Sergio Bonelli under the pseudonym Guido Notilla. So this is actually an Italian comic book translated into English with art by Galanino Ferri. Apologies for butchering names. I really don't like doing this, but unfortunately, I'm doing the best I can. So it's an Italian comic book created in 1961. And I was really happy to do some research and read about this book. So it's set in the Dark Woods. Zagor and his buddy Chico are chilling out, you know, just chilling out, sitting down, minding their own business until they're a UFO drops down and, you know, teleports them into the spaceship into another planet. And, to find out they encounter aliens. So one thing I do like about this book is it has a lot of dialogue between Zargor and Chico. So you really learn a lot about the characters based on their interactions with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, Chico is a whiner, so he complains a lot. And Zagor is the man, you know, is a man's man. You know, he's the guy who will just lay down with his eyes closed. His shirt's a little bit torn. You know, he's muscular. But Chico is chubby. He's wearing like traditional Mexican clothing. He's just complains a lot, which is good because you get to learn about the characters, about who they are and, you know, whatever Chico is complaining about, he's sort of like telling the story about himself and also Zagor, you know, mentioning how Zagor is, you know, he's so cool. I wish I was as strong as him, et cetera, et cetera. So it was good to see that in the story and also their encounter with aliens. And it sort of leads to, well, from what I gathered from the cover as well as the other covers in the future books, is that he just beats, like, Zagor just beats up aliens. So it looks like a lot of fun once it does lead up to that story, but this really just a typical Free Comic Book Day. It only gives you bits and pieces of the story. Mm-hmm. So it really, from what I gathered from it, as I mentioned before in Bloodshot, it just gives you an understanding of who the characters are and what you'd be expecting once you read on. But I was so happy to pick this up, and I'm really happy that you know, the proceeds go to the Sergio Bonelli family, so they are actually you know, getting the proceeds and the royalties for these comics. It's been published by Epicenter Comics. So they are the publishers, but yeah, as I mentioned before, the proceeds are going to the family, which I'm really happy about because doing the research, I did find out that Bonelli passed away only about 10 years ago. So he hasn't lived to see his story being retold, especially to the English, you know, to the English language readers, which I think is quite surprising because upon reading the book, it looked like something that we all would have read. You know what I mean? It's nothing too different to anything that we would have read in the 1960s. You know, it's very much just human emotions, you know, like any comic you would have read in those periods. You know, as I mentioned before, Chico is complaining. He's just complaining he can't get a girl. He's complaining that, you know, Zagor is more handsome than him. You know, like, we've all been through that as a teenager and wishing we were as cool as our cool friends sort of thing. So I really appreciated that in the story. It's it is very simple. You know, they get abducted by aliens. The aliens are a bit crude and they just make fun of how human guns look so primitive, but their guns look the same as ours, but there's a far more superior, and it's just all this sort of all this sort of dialogue. It's kind of amusing, but I'm so happy, you know, these Silver Age comic books being brought out again by different publishers, and hopefully, you know, Epicenter will retell these stories using, you know, new writers, new artists, and, you know, continuing these little foundations that had been created before us.
Yeah.
You know, as I mentioned in the last episode with, you know, Rex Dexter, and, you know, it's kind of cool in that aspect.
Yeah. You know, because I was able to actually look up the book, you know, and that on the Free Comic Book Day website, they actually had a preview of the book. So it had like 4 or 5 pages.
Nice.
You know, if they're going to be retelling these stories, I would love to just see, leave the artwork as it is. You know, obviously have, you know, have the speech bubbles be, you know, translated in, at least into English for English readers. However, leave the artwork as it is. I think that would be, and this is just me, I think that would be the most beneficial thing for any comic book reader to appreciate where comics have come from. Mm-hmm. And to be able to go back and read these Silver Age books. It reminds me of, what is it, Excalibur? You know, mm-hmm. the comic that's always been in the newspaper for as long as I can remember.
Oh, yes, I remember those books, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, the newspaper strips.
Yeah, the really
that's,
old. Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of, is that type of book. So I would say keep bringing the stories on, but don't change the artwork. Leave it as is.
No, yeah, absolutely. Or even if you do get new artists, if you want to tell new stories, keep the artwork to that sort of that to that level.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it consistent.
Yeah,
that'll be so cool.
Yeah, I would not want to see it be updated. I think books like this need to stay true to its origin.
Yeah, no doubt. But again, I was just happy to find this and think, you know, this is really unique, new. But to find out that, you know, the new is actually old, which is quite an amazing discovery, and I'm so happy to find that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it. And I think that that's something that I hope that they do in the future, is bringing either books like that from the past that have been forgotten, and giving them new light. That would be just fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah, indeed. And also, too, like, we all fall in the trap when you go into Free Comic Book Day and just picking up the, you know, the ones that you are familiar with. Oh, I'm going to pick up the new Avengers or the new Justice League. Mm-hmm. I mean, just save a bit of room to pick up the books that you probably would never have heard of or would never even think about picking up. And that's why, you know, Zagor was like, what the hell is this? Give me that. So I was like, yeah, what the hell is this? Give me that. Like, I want to check this one out because it just looks so unique and I've never heard of it. So, and part of being a, you know, an indie comics advocate is to go, you know what, give me the unknown. You know, I basically, yeah, boycotted all the DC and Marvel books for Free Comic Book Day and went for the indie line. So
this is my surprise face.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly. And speaking of indie books, please remember to check out Buy Indie Comics on Facebook and keep the 3rd of August free. And if you are a indie comics creator and if there's a local comic book shop near you, just ask them, what are you guys doing on the 3rd of August 2019? Because that is Buy Indie Comics Day.
Absolutely. And the one thing I do want, and thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that you brought it up. If your local comic book shop is participating or you're a creator and want to participate, we want this to be a worldwide event. Not just in the States, not just, you know, in Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand. We want it all over the world. This is huge. And it is dedicated just indie comics. No big two stuff will be involved. I mean, if you pick up a book or two, I ain't going to judge because you're supporting your local comic book shop. But this is a day for indie comics. You know, so reach out to them on Facebook and or Twitter. Let them know. Because I had the honor of being able to work with the guys who were organizing this, and you know, being able to see, you know, the states that are going to be participating, you know, we want to see as many people as possible participating in this awesome event, and have it be a truly annual event, and have it be a big event. The big aspect of this, you know, obviously Free Comic Book Day, you're getting free books. But with Buy Indie Comic Book Day, the other aspect is, you know, supporting the indie creators, you know, buying their books, supporting the local comic book shops as well. So,
yeah,
you know, if your shop, or you know, even if you own a local comic book shop and you want to jump in on this, reach out to them. The guys that I had the pleasure of working with are great. They're passionate about this and want to see this be a huge success. It was great a couple of years ago, and so now the revival has begun, and so we're a few months away. Definitely more than enough time to get events set up, created within your shops, get those local creators. And I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
Awesome. And you heard it from the random dude himself. Please go out and support your local creators. Some of them might be your friends. Just, you know, a couple of dollars here or there will really go a long way here or there to buy their books. We'll go a long way, and you're really supporting a good cause because we want to see comic books being made. These people are the future of the business. You know, who knows? I mean, I know a lot of people who've gone on from just, you know, creating their own indie books to getting jobs in the big publishing. And look, we're not discrediting that because, I mean, everyone who makes a comic had picked up a, you know, DC or Marvel book to get inspiration. But, you know, we're not gonna cut the legs out from under them because they want to work for the big two. But this is great to see these creators get their feet off the ground and start making their own comics. So please, if you do know anyone or if you can go to your local comic book shop, just pick up an indie comic from the creators themselves, and it will be money in their pockets that they've spent to make this fantastic work.
Well, and not only, you know, to go off of that, a lot of these creators, just from what I've experienced, is when people are buying their books, it motivates them to create more. I mean, you look at, you know, creators we've talked to in the past, Ben Goldsmith in the Seance Room, Garrett Gunn and the Derogatory Tales of Franklin and Ghost and Go West. I mean, they're rocking it. You look at Franklin and Ghost alone and how that series has just kicked off, which, by the way, if you haven't read that book, oh my God, you're missing out. So that is one absolutely worth picking up. And I won't divulge a whole lot right now, but there is something in the works. We may be having a big, and I mean a big special guest on Flipside Focus. He's been in movies, he's been on TV, but he's involved with an indie comic that touches on something that's very real in the world today, but they take this concept and they make it into a superpower, and I'm going to leave it at that for now. So,
well, boy, am I intrigued.
So I'm in we're still in talks about it. So I can't say a whole lot at this point in time, but believe you me, when I do get it all straightened out and figured out, it is going to be probably one of the biggest episodes we've had.
Okay.
So there's your teaser. Stay tuned.
You heard it there, folks. I'm pretty excited, and I have no idea who it is. So, look, before we jump off, I'm gonna do a little shout out to one of my mates, Nathan Kelly, who created Drexler Number 2. It's on Kickstarter, 92% funded with 25 days remaining. 92%, 25 days remaining. Like, that's pretty amazing. So please check out Drexler Number 2. Drexler Number 1's already out. So if you can jump onto Facebook, you will be able to look up Feral Kingdom Comics. In Feral Kingdom, you can pick up, reach out to Nathan directly. He can help you out in picking up a copy of Drexler Number 1. Drexler's a sort of a assassin type dude with this with a you know pretty schmick get up, you know, jacket and all. One thing I do like about Nathan Kelly, his art style is very Mignola-esque, and the writer, none other than Bob Sally, who's one of the who works for Source Point Press.
Oh, Bob, who's very good friends. Great.
Yeah, he is, and I mean, you know, and I mentioned this when I did a review of Drexler number one. For a guy who created Drexler to hand over the writing duties to a writer like Bob Sally, I'm so happy that he did that because I think Bob has given the character a new light. But to have the creator, you know, giving, you know, sort of giving the reins to another writer to enhance his own character, I think that's amazing. So Bob Sally, Nathan Kelly working together, match made in heaven. So please check out Drexler number two. It is in Kickstarter. As I mentioned before, it's 92% funded with 25 days remaining. So please go check it out.
So I also, funny you mentioned Kickstarters. I also have a Kickstarter I wanted to touch upon.
Ooh.
Yeah. Look at me. I was prepared with this. Obviously, wasn't prepared earlier with names for the book.
That's all
right. But the Kickstarter I wanted to highlight is Carnivore Number One. It's presented by MDV Comics. So the premise of the story is the main character, if you will, has the ability to change into a demon. And when he does, well, he's now being hunted for sport, both by the people, the local town that he's in, but also the government. So, and he's also wanted for murdering a nun. I mean, you're hunted for sport and you're wanted for murdering a nun. Do I have your interest yet?
You sure do.
So this is written by Dwayne Welch with art by Emma Jones and colors by Ellis Carlos. And just from the panels that they have put on their Kickstarter campaign, damn, it is so well done. I would damn near say this artwork puts the big two to shame. It is that well done. Their use of blacks in this. I never realized how much black would be such a strong color, especially in your books that are wall-to-wall color.
Mm-hmm.
Their use of black was so well done. The cover on this, that demon, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it yet, Dodgy, but he looks badass.
No, he does, and he actually the art in this, the promotion poster alone is pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So, this one, it just started. So, it's, at the time of this recording, it's got 30 days to go. They've already raised about, looks like $381. The goal is to be at $1,200. So, you know, they still have $800 to go on the project. But, you know, just looking at the, you know, the rewards and stuff like that, actually, it's really affordable given everything that you would be getting. So, and from what I was reading, this is Dwayne's, you know, first Kickstarter. So, you know, we definitely, you know, for a first time book and this is what we're getting. I would jump on it for sure. So, check it out. Carnivore number one.
Yes, on Kickstarter. And also too, Kickstarter is celebrating its 10th birthday this year. Who would have thought? Thought it's been out for 50 years already. But no, it's Kickstarter's 10th anniversary, 10th birthday.
You know, and if it wasn't for Kickstarter and this whole crowdfunding concept, we wouldn't have the books that we do.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we wouldn't have had, you know, books like Go West, The Seance Room, Morgan's Organs, obviously Carnivore, hoping that that one gets fully funded. What are some of the other books that we've reviewed a lot? We've reviewed a lot of books from Kickstarter. So you can imagine for the indie comics world how much Kickstarter is the lifeblood of indie comics. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's exciting. Happy birthday to Kickstarter for sure. Keep up the great work. You guys are doing great.
Absolutely. And you're right. Without them, we wouldn't have a lot of the content that we have. Because we love to talk about the current comics, but also we love to talk about the future comics. And I think Kickstarter is our platform for our future comics because, yeah, like we need to have these creators put their work out there, and just the funds made from Kickstarter, it's just a great way for us to for them to get funded and also get a little bit of return, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it just shows our support for these creators, and that's really what it is. When you're spending, you know, that money to back these projects, you're not only buying the book, but you're supporting the creator.
Indeed.
But, well, I don't know about you, Dodgy, but this has been fun, as always.
No, definitely, as always, of course. And I just wanted to thank our listeners for checking us out. Flipside Focus, you can check us out on flipsidefocus.com, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any which way, shape, or form, on undercovercapes.com. On behalf of myself, Dodgy, as well as the random dude, Josh, we'll meet you on the flip side.
This has been a production of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Make sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter and at undercovercapes.com.